We're going to pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We're going to continue. We're going to continue to give you some more information on the apostle, the duties of an apostle. I need to, until we get to, through all of them. I'm going to give you five more tonight. I think we did 15 so far. And so we're going to give you 15 more. Any student who's been meditating on Matthew 5 and 6, blessed is the man who thirsts and hunger after righteousness, probably have went online and pulled those duties up and printed them out and started reading them over themselves. So so let me go to number 16. Number 16 says to execute. Apostles have a unique ability to execute the plans and purposes of God. To execute means to carry out, perform, or to do. This anointing is absolutely necessary to fulfill the Great Commission. So we, like I said, again, we're going through all the fivefold ministry gifts. But the main thing that since we have not been taught that much on the apostle, we want to cover the apostle, which is God's government. He's the beginning of God's government. He's the top level. So we need to understand apostles. Most of us ask what a pastor is. We know what a pastor is. Most of us know what a teacher is. Most of us know what an evangelist is. And some of us know what a prophet is that speaks for God. But most of us don't have that much information about our apostle. And since God is bringing the apostolic government back into church, we need to understand everything that we can about the apostle. Number 17 is the apostle. Another duty is to defend. Apostles are defenders of the faith. They defend the truth. They defend the church from outside attacks and infiltration by the enemies. Number 18, the apostles oversee. The apostolate is also called a bishopric. To be a bishop means to oversee. Apostles oversees the churches. So our apostle, we have an apostle here, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. He's an apostle and he oversees approximately 80-some churches that's under the umbrella of Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association. So he oversees them. Number 19 is to invade. Apostles invade new territories. This is a militaristic mantle. They have the ability to penetrate hostile environments with the message of the kingdom. And so even now, when someone say they are apostle, people look at them strange, because they don't know, they don't understand about apostles and what apostles are supposed to be doing. But actually, God set it up. That's where the kingdom was set up from the beginning. And since it was set up that way, we who are in the body, who are in the kingdom, need to understand this government, this apostolic government that God has set up. Number 20, apostles to war. Apostles are territorial warriors. They are spiritual commanders of the highest rank. Warfare is translated from the Greek word strategia, meaning apostolic career. And when I say war, it's not a physical war. It's not a natural war. This is a spiritual war that that the apostles are in. That's why most apostles, if you're a true apostle, spend their time in prayer, in much prayer, and in the ministering of the word. That's the main thing they're doing. But like I say, all these are little side duties that an apostle is execute. And so I wanted to show you that, bring you these five, and then I have six more left. There are probably many others that we don't have on this list, but these are some of the basic ones I wanted to cover as an apostle. And when I talk about war, I say it's not a natural war. It is a spiritual war. So let me go over a couple of scriptures with you here while we're here, and then we'll go back in our lesson. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, and the word, this is what the word of God says. The Apostle Paul ministering to the Corinthian church. He's setting down some guidelines. And verse 3, it said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." That means that, like, you know, in the natural, we don't go to war with weapons in this kingdom. It says that, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So here it tells us we're not worn after the flesh. It's the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of stronghold, casting out imagination. Our imaginations have a lot to do with how we operate and how we win this battle in the kingdom, because the enemy is going to constantly be throwing things at you, and it's going to be throwing it at your mind, your imagination. So you can begin to think things, and just because of things that you begin to think, you become defeated because of just this mind of your own. But if you, as Romans 12:2 tell us, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that's what we're doing. We're taking the word of God, and we're renewing our minds. Turn to Ephesians 6, and in this kingdom, he's given us certain weapons. Even though I tell you we don't have these natural weapons that we war with, but we have some weapons that we fight with, and he's given us these weapons and how we war in this kingdom. And so once you understand, then, you know, you can go to war. But it ain't the type of war that's, you know, we see in everyday in governments that go to war, but it's a spiritual war. So turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And so he just said, go here and let you see some scriptures, foundational scriptures. Build up on it as you go, as you're being trained and taught in the things of God. It says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, and you're going to see your armor. When you go to war, there's certain armor that you must have on when you go to war. And so he's telling you about your armor that you should have on. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren," he said, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." He said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So we see we have an enemy, and that enemy is, he's called the devil. Jesus says in 1 John 3:8, he was manifested in every realm that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's what he came. That's why he was manifested. So our warfare is still against that great Satan, the enemy himself. And so that's what we're warring against. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore." He said, having your loins girded about with truth. You know what? Yeah, we all understand what the truth says. The truth that you know will set you free. So if you say having your loins girded about truth, so we know what the word of God says. We know the word of God is truth. And so once he try to throw something at you, whether it be a fact or not, but we got the truth on that thing. And once we got the truth, we're girded with it, so we can go to war with that. He said, "Have your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." You know that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. "And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And that's what Jesus came to do. Remember, the government's up on his shoulders, and off his peace there shall be no end. And that peace, that government is in operation right now. And since it's in operation, there should be nothing missing and nothing broken in our lives. We should know that. He's saying, above all, taking the shield of faith. A couple of scriptures here, one in particular is Hebrews 11:6, Well, God says without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he's lining you up with this armor, what you need to do to operate in this kingdom, your weapons that you're fighting with. And he said, shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So he's going to be constantly throwing things at you. As long as you're here in this earth realm, in this natural body, the enemy is going to constantly be throwing things at you. But you got your shield of faith on. And every time he throws something at you, you can, put that shield up. And shields, what shields does, it blocks what the enemy is throwing at you. He's saying, taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he said, then verse 18, say, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So that's your armor. You got your armor on now. And so now the apostle, like I say, he goes into territory. He goes in this and he's a territorial warrior. And when he go in, many times he have other warriors with him. So when you go in with him, you have to know what you're going in and how you're going in the war. We here at Word Life Christian Center are warriors. We here under the umbrella of LTMA, we are warriors. We have certain prayers that we pray. We pray along with our apostle. We have certain scriptures that we read, and we have certain times that we pray, and we send our prayer that what we prayed about. And then some of us even give lessons on what we've learned while we are praying, reading those various scriptures, or what information, what was revealed to you while you was reading. And all that help us to grow and help us to mature in the things of God. And so now let's go back and look, and we're going to start. We have to have an accurate understanding of these fivefold ministry gifts in order to accelerate this culture of honor and understand what's happening, what God is doing here in the earth realm at this time. And so I'm going to give you some pointers here. I'm going to try to break each one of them down a little bit. And probably, like I said, most of my teaching will be on the apostle, because we don't know that much about him. And so we're going to see scripture after scripture about the apostle. So I left off in my last class, I gave you some pointers. It said the anointing on the apostle and the prophet creates a perspective that is primarily focused on perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. That's the main thing that we want to understand. The apostles and the prophet, they looking at what's going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. The teacher is focused on being able to describe everything that happens accurately, and the evangelist and the pastor are more focused on the people. So they are not so much, I mean, even though they're praying and they are seeking God, but their main focus is on the people more so. And so when the author gave this little analogy, when these five fold ministry gifts come up to an accident scene, and he showed how each one of them looks at the accident, even though it was the same accident, each one of those gifts look at the accident a little bit different. And so he was just giving an example of the various fivefold ministry gift. Each of these areas of focus is vitally important. Because if it wasn't important, then God wouldn't have set it up. In Ephesians 4 and 11, when he said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And so all of them have to work together. It's not an independent group. They all interdependent. So each one of the gifts is dependent on each other. And so if one of them try to do it on his own, he's out of line with God's government, and he's not operating according to the way God set it up. God said, I set it up this way. He said in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, I gave some apostles. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets. He said, thirdly teachers. And he said, after that, then when the government is in place, and then he said, then you can see miracles and gifts of healings and those various signs and wonders that take place in the kingdom of God that we should be operating in. And so, like I said, again, supernaturally, we are in a supernatural kingdom. and we have to be able to see what the Bible is doing, and we should be able to operate in the kingdom the way the Bible set it up. But in order for them to function together as God intended, they must relate to one another according to his order of priority. He gave us the order of priority in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. He said, first apostles. And so that means that's a rank. In the military, for instance, if you look at the military, there are ranks in the military. And you have your generals, and you have your commandants, and your commanders, and lieutenant commanders, and captains, and sergeants, and privates, right on down. So there are ranks in the realm of the spirit. There are ranks. And so the orders come from the general, and they come down. So what the apostles do, they get the orders from heaven. And then they pass those orders down through the rest of the ranks. And then those ranks come in and impart that which God has said unto the body of Christ, so we can operate in the kingdom in the way God set it up. The area of heavenly focus come first and influence the area of earthly focus. So heavenly focus come first. So if heavenly focus come first, then those that are hearing from heaven first are going to get the orders first. And then it's going to be passed down again through those various gifts. The pastor. So every pastor should, based the way God set it up, should be under the influence of an apostle or a prophet. Somewhere along the line, the way that God set it up, they should be under an apostle. But what we found out, we don't see many signs and many wonders operating in the church the way it should be. Because why? God's government is not set up the way it should be set up, or the way God set it up. God was specific in the way he set it up. He said, this is the way you can do it. So if we always think about it, Jesus was the perfect example. And he gave us an example how we should operate. He said that, he don't say anything unless he hear it from his father. He don't do anything unless he see his father do it. And so if he see his father do it, whatever his father did is what he did. And so now that's why he could do the supernatural, and he could operate in the supernatural, because if you're out there on your own, then whatever you get, you become your own God, basically. And so whatever you get is what you're creating for yourself. And so that's, so when he said, I only do what I see my father do, I only say what I hear my father say, then whatever the father say, then when, if he say it and you do it, then there's a supernatural operation, a manifestation that takes place in your life. That's why it's so important that when you hear a rhema word from God and you act on it, then that word that you act on is going to be your manifestation. See, when God give you a rhema word, a live word, that word has all the abilities of God in that word to manifest itself in your life. God is not going to come down from heaven and jump into your life and do this for you. What he's going to do, he's going to give you a word for that situation. And when he give you a word, a rhema word, and then you act on that word, then manifestation, supernatural manifestations come. Our apostles coming in on Sunday mornings, and he heard from heaven, and he comes in, and he just gives us word after word after word. And every word that he comes out of his mouth is that somebody's situation is being taken care of. And if a situation is being taken care of, all they have to do is take that live word that he gives, and when he give that word and act on it, and then your life, whatever comes against you, that situation is going to change for you. All you have to do is believe what he says. I think I've given you that scripture over in Romans. Turn to Romans. He brought it up, so let's go there. Well, I think we've meditated this passage of scripture, and let's go over to Romans chapter 5. And looking at 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, he said, much more they which receive. See, when the word of God come out, we have to receive what is coming out of that man's mouth. That's that honor again. And that's that Matthew 10 and 41 all over again. And so when we receive him as a man of God, speaking from heaven, we have to know that he's speaking from heaven. He's speaking what God wants us to hear at that time. So we receive that way. Matthew 10:41 say, he that receiveth an apostle. I'm going to use apostle. I'm not going to use a prophet. I'm not going to use a righteous man. I'm going to say apostle. He that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. That's that principle that God set up in the Bible. All these are principles. You go in deep as we go into the deep. These are the mysteries of God that we who are in the kingdom. He said, it's for you who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom. This is part of that mystery that we are operating in. So when it comes out of his mouth, we receive it the way he come out, and we know it's coming from God, and then we act on it, then it's going to manifest in your life. So he says, 17, he says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So the main thing here is that we receive what the apostle is saying, that coming out of his mouth, and then we can act on it. And again, supernatural manifestation takes place in your life. When Paul makes apostles first in 2 Corinthians 12 and 28, we can go over there. Let's go over and look at it. I got a whole semester, so we're going to just see it. We're going to see scriptures. So we're going to see scripture. Like I said, you have to hear something over and over. And sometimes, many times you have to hear it before you actually can get it. And so once you get it, then nothing can take it away from you. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. We've all read that chapter. I know we read it because it was an assignment that everybody read this chapter. And when the Apostle Paul goes through and he explains to you about a natural body, and so what he was saying is that every part of your body, your eyes are part of your body, your ears are part of your body, your hands and arms and legs is a part of your body. So we are part of Christ's body. He's the head, and we are members of the body. We may be any part. We could be any part of the body of Christ, but we know we all are part of that body. And so he's the head. He's going to carry it out. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. And see, I like that word. You say after that miracle. So it have to be in the kingdom. There have to be miracles operating in the church. It must be miracles because God set it up that way. And so if we're not seeing miracles, are we operating in the kingdom the way God set it up? He said it here in his word. That's truth. Say, God, that's truth. And the truth that you know shall set you free. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he could lie. If he said it, he shall make it good. So, and here he said it here. He says, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So he goes on to say, and he asks a question to the Corinthian church. He said, all apostles, everybody can't be an apostle, but we can be under an apostolic government where the apostle is in charge, and that anointing that's on that apostle can come on off on us. And when it comes off on us, we can act like the apostle because we have received him as an apostle, and the same anointing that's on his life should be on our life. Same thing that's coming from him, we should be operating the exact same way. Turn to Acts. While I'm here, I might go back to it eventually, but I'll turn to Acts chapter 6. And like I said, when I say something and the Holy Spirit bring it up, then you need to see it in the scripture, which is your foundation. We need foundation. Word of God says it's built up. It's built up. The kingdom of God, the church, is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And in John 1:1 is saying, He said, and he became the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we can say the Word of God, what we're seeing here, is also synonymous with Jesus, because he became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt. So when I read the Word here, I'm seeing Jesus himself in the Word. So here's in Acts 6, and beginning at verse 1, here come the helps. Watch these helps, and watch this apostolic anointing that takes place. And verse 1 says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration. Then the 12 apostles, called the multitude of the disciples. Disciples are learned ones, one who are learning about the things of the kingdom, like you are here now. You're disciples of Christ Jesus. He said unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It's not a reason for the apostle to come out on Sunday morning and go out and park vehicles when he can got individuals to come in and park those vehicles. And so sit there and greet people at the door. Wow, what he's doing, he's spending time in prayer and in ministering the word. But those ones who are out in the parking lot and the parking attendants, one who's sitting on the door is greeting, the one who's singing up in the choir, who's praising God to bring the presence of God on the scene, they should be operating in that same anointing that the apostle has on his life. Wow, they've been called by the apostle and appointed by the apostle, so the same anointing that's on his life should be on their life. The same results that he's getting, they should be also getting. Wow, they're operating under that apostolic government and under that apostolic anointing. It goes on to say, wherefore, brethren, he said, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So he said, you know, one of the criteria is being full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, when he operated here on earth, he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was led of the Spirit. You know, in Luke 4, he was led of the Spirit out in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And one of the things he came back when he finished up, he said, you know, and then Satan told him, if you be the Son of God. He didn't ask the truth. Truth, he knew the truth. He knew he was the Son of God. He didn't have it. Truth don't have to answer itself, because it's a manifestation of itself. And since it's a manifestation of itself, he's just so. He said, one of the things he told him, he told Satan, he looked him flat in the face, he said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So that's how we who are in the kingdom, we're living. That's why I was showing it to you in Ephesians 6, what we're living by. We're not living on our own abilities, our own instincts. God has given us his word, and we can live by his word. And so he goes on to say, he said, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may point over this business. He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. Continually. That's what the apostles' purpose is. Why? They're continually in prayer. They want to hear what heaven is saying. They want to hear what God wants to bring to the earth realm, to this kingdom. So if they spend that time in prayer, and then once they get the word from God, then they come out and minister that word to the body of Christ, so we can have victory in every situation. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And so something is getting ready to happen. Remember in Numbers 13, where God said it came down and he took the spirit that was up on Moses and he imparted that to those 70 elders. Well, same thing is getting ready to happen here. God said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same way God did things back then, he's doing those same things today. And so we have to understand that. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. When they laid the hands, there was an impartation that took place. The spirit that was up on them was imparted into those, I call them my seven table waiters. It was imparted into those table waiters. So now they got the same anointing. They're not apostles, but the same anointing that's on that apostle's life is up on their life. And so they should operate accordingly. Operate operate the same way. If the signs and wonders are coming from the apostle, then signs and wonders should be coming in your life. You have to understand that. You see, and it goes on to say, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Let's turn to Romans, Acts chapter 8, and look at we know what happened to Stephen. It says here in Acts chapter 8, and like I said, I just want to let you know that there, these are not fairy tales that we are hearing. This is the word of God, which is actual truth that we're hearing. And it operates the same in everybody's life who will take it and believe it the exact same way that the word said. It will operate in your life just like these was natural men. Had the same passions that we had, had the same everything that we had, but they just operated in the kingdom and they was trained how to operate in the kingdom. Here in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, it says, then Philip, that's one of those seven table waiters, watch him. It says, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Was he called to be apostle? No. But he was laid his hand. They was laid hands on by the apostle. Now he can operate just like that apostle. He went down to the city of Samaria and he began to evangelize. I know he had an evangelistic meeting because the angel came and told him he wanted him to go out to a place and talk to a eunuch over there in the same chapter. He wanted him to go over there and talk to him, and he baptized a eunuch. And that eunuch, he heard God when he said it, and he did it. He goes on to say, watch what he says. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with the palsies, and that was lame, were healed. That sounds like what Jesus was doing when he was walking the earth. So he's the same thing that Jesus was doing, this Philip began to do. Why? Because now they got Jesus Christ, who's gone on back to heaven. They got the apostles who waited in Jerusalem until the Spirit of God came, which God Jesus commanded them in Luke 24 and 49. He said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's to operate in the kingdom with the power that Jesus operate within while he was in the earth. Remember in Ephesians 4 where he said, until you come to the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. So that's where you're maturing to. That's your destiny. That's where we are going as you're being trained how to operate in this kingdom. And so when we walk up on sickness and disease, we know exactly what to do and we'll take care of it like Jesus. We're walking around destroying the works of the devil. It says, it goes on to say, he said, for unclean, verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and was lame and were healed. And so it says, turn over to verse 26. I just want to take out a few pointers here, and then I'm going to go back to my lesson here. It says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. It's like the Holy Ghost speaking to us now. It's coming to us and it's telling us to do something. It says, men as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so as we are hearing what the Spirit say, we obey what the Spirit say, then again, the supernatural begin to operate in our lives. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the place, the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And so we know that he was having an evangelistic meeting here, and you had many people there. But what he did, he didn't tell God, well, you know, I'm having this great meeting down here in Samaria. God told him to go here, go this one place. And so, I mean, you know, we who are in the think we are great preachers or great teachers or something. When God tells us something to do, we're going to tell God what we're doing rather than listen to what God tells us to do. And many times that happens. And so when we do that, what we do, we get out of the will of God. God, everything that he tells us to do, one of the things Jesus said, John 6:38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven to do the will of my Father. I have no will of my own. I just come down so I can do whatever he want me to do. That's what I want to do. And so since that's what he want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And so this is what God wanted him to do. It says, look at verse 27. And he arose. So as soon as he said it, he didn't think about it. He didn't say, I have something else to do. He got up. He said, he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopian and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, whom he had charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he was over in the book of Isaiah. He was reading around 54, 55, 53 in that area. And so, and he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Isaiah 53 and 7 and 8 is where it was. It says, and the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And so so what he began to do after he had this apostolic anointing upon his life, we know he's doing miracles because people was hearing what he was preaching and signs and wonder was operating in his life. So, but here's a man who don't know anything about Jesus. Now he becomes an evangelist. Because of what the apostle and they had laid their hands on him, he went down to this eunuch and he got him saved. He baptized him in the water. And so now, I let my imagination run. Now, this is a eunuch that came to Jerusalem worship. Now he goes back to a continent, a whole continent that was not saved because this one eunuch got saved because a man of God heard what he said and went down and got him saved. Now he could take Jesus back to this continent. And see, that's how God operates in the things that he does. It just being obedient to what God tell you to do. What you do and what your life affects other people's lives. And our thing is to be obedient to what God tell us to do and operate in the kingdom the way he tell us. But again, we have to be trained. We have to be taught. And as we are trained and taught in the things of God, we can operate in the kingdom and every situation. You should have victory in every situation. I use the analogy of an individual. And God has told him to do some things. And what he's done as he's going along his trail, on his course, on his destiny. And what God has done is laid blessings on his destiny. And as he is being obedient to what God tell him to do, whatever he needs in his life, he reached down as a blessing. He picks it up. And see, but if he's over here and he's doing it on his own, and he's over here, he's walking along this line, and he needs something in his life, and he reached down to pick, it's not there. Why? Because the blessings is on this line rather than on this line. So many are in the kingdom of God, operating on their own, as their own gods, and they need things in their lives, and what they get to the point of, they begin to struggle, they get burnt out. Why? Because they're not being obedient to what God told them to do and what God had for them. They're not receiving them. Those signs and wonders are not operating in their life. So that's why, again, we see many, many churches, on the side of the road, I know when I first came over here, I was driving about 90 miles from here, in a place called Mandeville. And so I know I passed up many churches coming to Word of Life Christian Center to get here, because this is what God told me He wanted me here. This is what He said He had work for me to do. People say, why are you driving all the way out there? I said, that's what God told me He wanted me. He said He got some work for me to do over there. And so because He told me that, I was going to be obedient. Like I said, my great revelation at that time was, if you be willing and obedient, you should eat the good and land. I believe that with all my heart. And so I was obedient, and I did exactly what He told me to do. And because of that, then I began to eat the good of the land. Amen. And so let's go on a little bit further on some more. I just wanted to show you that and how that apostolic anointing is being imparted to each one of you as you believe it and receive it. It's important that we believe, and not only do we believe, we receive, and then once we receive it, then we have to act on what we receive. We just can't keep it to ourselves. We got to go ahead and act on it so we can get those supernatural manifestations in our life. The flow screams through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The flow screams through the teacher, is released in miracles and healings, and continues through helps and administration and tongues. It says, but sorrow today, rather than having the apostle and the prophets at the foundation of the church culture, Eastern cultures have put the apostle in his place, and they begin to see signs and wonders. But we here in America and some of the Eastern churches, Western churches, we still got the apostle, got the pastor as the head of the church. So and many of them are just, I'm not gonna say that. They're sitting at a church. They're nice orifice, nice buildings. Some of them got extremely nice buildings, but there's no life in the buildings. You know, the life has actually gone out of the buildings. But why? Because the God presence is not there. God presence have to always be in the kingdom where we're operating in. So if His presence is there, then life is there. So the American church has largely placed the teacher, pastor, or evangelist at the helm. So many of them don't know. If you tell them about the apostle, are you under apostolic government? They look at you and they say, what apostolic government? And so that's what God said. It said, defrauding the church of his supernatural ability by first of all letting the teacher states clearly, or teacher, you know, we got many great teachers in the kingdom. I could call off the name, but I'm not. But, they can get up and they can teach the word. They can give analogies, but there's no power there. Right. See, and since the power is not there, then the manifestation of the supernatural is not there. But like I said, they can explain the word so good and it sounds good. And, you know, I hear some of these individuals. I know they minister the word, but then when you hear them, a word without the spirit is death. So you don't have the life in it that you need. It's they say clearly and accurately the truths of the Bible in a theologically sound message in an effort to build security into the lives of the believers. So they teach the word of God, they teach in truth, but the life is not there. About letting the pastor create a church that has strong family values and systems in place to nourish strong character and relationships. But still, the power and the authority is not there. Remember, I gave you those two words, power and authority. You have to have power in your life. Jesus said, but you shall receive power. Acts 1:8. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and He said, you shall be witnesses. Witnesses mean that what He did while He was here on earth, you should be doing the same thing. He tells us in turn over to John chapter 14. And verse 12, and it seemed like a good meditation scripture for this class in particular. I always try to give you one. It says, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. That's Jesus. He was speaking. He was telling. That was before the Holy Ghost came and set on those individuals. We know that Jesus had to be full of the Spirit. In order for us to operate in the kingdom, we have to be full of the Spirit of God. We have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. One of the things that Jesus told him, he said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandment. And every time he talks about keeping his commandments, right behind that, he always talks about the Comforter is coming, saying something about the Comforter, saying something about the Holy Ghost. And so he's telling you, I told you in Luke 24 and 49, when I was walking here and before I got ready to ascend on the throne, I told you to tarry here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. We need that power from on high to operate in the kingdom. And once we get that power, then we can operate like Jesus said. And so, like I said, this has become your meditation scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So what he was doing while he was on the earth, destroying the works of the devil, we come to that full stature of the fullness of Christ, operating like he did while he was here on earth, destroying the works of the devil. Let me give you a few more pointers, and then again, are the evangelists, which emphasize church growth and to train church members to share their faith and lead others to Christ. You know, all these are good. All these are part of that. These fivefold ministry gifts that God Jesus gave to individuals, these graces, they're good. But all these are earthly focused models of leadership. These three, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are earthly focused and focus more on the people. And as I told you before, the apostle and the prophets are heavenly focused gifts. They are hearing what heaven wants here on earth. And again, Jesus began to teach his apostles and his disciples, and he wanted them to pray. And they asked him, say, teach us to pray. And one of the things he told them, he said, you're going to always pray this way. He said, pray our Father, which art in heaven. John 3 tells us that man can't receive anything unless he receive it from heaven. So you have to, whatever we receive, we got to receive it from heaven. We who are in the kingdom, we receive it from heaven, and then we can operate here on earth as days of heaven here on earth. We can do that. Once you're trained, you can do that. I see it in the scripture, and so I know it. You know, if it's in the scripture and I see it, every promise that God has made is yea and amen to me, because I take it the way he said it. And once I take it the way he said it, then it begins to operate in my life that way. And so, like I said, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher are earthly focused models of leadership, whereas the apostle and the prophet is hearing from heaven and bringing what heaven wants here on the earth. It says, and I'm going to give you one more pointer. It says, without the flow of grace from the apostles and the prophets, who are not only focus on seeing what is going on in heaven, but also on releasing that reality here on earth. So they were receiving it, and then they coming bound and releasing it here on earth, so everybody who are with them can receive that which is coming from heaven. And so again, as we give that direction of apostolic government, where the portals of heaven, where the portals are open, and the supernatural can be in operation. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. We thank you that as you've given us your word, we pass it out to your people, God. And we thank you again that we are no longer just hearers of your word, but we become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen.